Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also thanks to the GRA team for offering me this opportunity to share a few things from my country. The team said, I think my country chanced to be the first that joined the GRA, and I think that was a very great initiative. And that says that if the policy people see such an important initiative, then it makes the work of the scientists quite much more easier. So briefly, I would like to share a few things that we have done. The outline of my presentation, that's a brief description of our national circumstance. I also go through some impact of climate change that besets our country, areas that we are currently looking on with the GRA, some activities that are being implemented and the way forward. I want to be very, very brief. I wouldn't like to take much of your time, but we have a few data here which has been compiled by one of our sister institutions, that is the Ghana, the Environmental Protection Council, who sits in the same ministry with this, which has been trying to, over the years, give empirical evidence as to what the issue of climate change is as it affects Ghana. I would not like to go too much into that, so I will go quickly through them. Yes, as per its influence on our natural resources and other issues, but I will just skip through that. I don't want to waste your time. I can see that a lot of people are sleeping. Yes, but the issue of gas emissions is real, and there are so many evidences that have proven of recent times. For the past couple of years back in our country, I was speaking to one of my colleagues, and he said, I think he's about going on retirement next year, and he said since he was born, he has never experienced, Ghana has never experienced drought in September, but this year we had a number of very dry spells in September, behaving like a typical month like in June or July, where we have frequent droughts. So that shows that the issue of climate change is real. Yes, some of the impacts of climate change we have observed in our country, which I would like to stress, and I think other countries in the sub-region are also experiencing the same, have to do with floods. Then we also have droughts. Naturally, in Ghana, if in a year you do not get a flood, then within two or three is followed by a drought. And of course, rising sea level and coastal erosion has been also very, very severe, and extreme weather conditions as evidenced by prolonged Harmattan seasons. So these are the four things that as a country we have to grapple with. Having said that, one will ask, what are the effects of these on our economies? Of course, the income of our people, particularly the low income bracket, that is the vulnerable farmers, those who have very small holdings, general livelihoods, property and infrastructure that are sometimes destroyed through natural hazards like floods, and of course the general well-being of our people. Of course, also we have direct and indirect effects which bear on the economic infrastructure and also health, sanitation and education. There are some initiatives the government has put in place. I wouldn't like to go through all of them, but just to show that these are things that really affect the people of our country, and policies that bother on climate change policies and measures to manage them are quite important and have been aligned, and we're trying to see how we can handle them. But specifically to our engagement with the Global Research Alliance, currently these are some of the areas that we are looking at: livestock, croplands, Paddy Falls and Integrated Research Group. However, I would like to look at cropland in Paddy Falls, because my colleagues from the Animal Research Institute who are leading the livestock, I could not piece their documents together before leaving for this place. In Ghana, we are looking at climate change, and for that matter, the activities of the Global Research Alliance at two levels. The first level has to do with policy. And as I said, once the policy people give you their support, then you have a chance of survival. But if the politicians are not convinced, they are keeping the pace, then they will not give you any support. And to also mainstream our activities to what already we are doing as a nation, as you said, we haven't got the luxury of money lying somewhere you can just go and pick and do whatever. So we need to mainstream them into the activities of the line ministries that are engaged in the activities that have been proposed. And secondly, we also have the fourth level engagement. So I'm going to talk more on the fourth level for now. Under the fourth level, the institute that I come from, that the Savannah Agri Research Institute, is doing a lot of activities in this perspective. First, we have climate smart agriculture, which looks at various interventions across conservation agriculture, minimum tillage, rotational systems using dry cereals and grain legumes, agroforestry practices, use of germplasm that are stress resistant and tolerant, such as what we have in collaboration under the drought tolerant maize for Africa, now called the stress tolerant maize for Africa, where countries in West Africa, such as the Republic of Benin, Mali, Nigeria, and Ghana are taking part, and of course our sister countries also in the Eastern and Southern Africa. We're also looking at issues within the policy system. Five districts in the upper West region under the CCAS program, which Montgomery has already mentioned, have done a lot of this work in collaboration with our partners in Burkina Faso, and quite a number of publications have come out of this, looking at how we can better manage our environments. And also in the southern sector, we also have five districts which are also collaborating. That is the Whole West, Brim South, Ada West, Tyne, and there is another district. I couldn't pick up the name before I left. All these districts are piloting various climate smart interventions. That just shows how serious we are taking the issues of the Global Research Alliance in our country. We are also into the system of sustainable rice intensification. As the DG of Africa Rice said, my colleagues are doing so well in this area, and we are looking at various issues. In fact, I think under this we are looking at the alternative wetting and drying, which is also a potent tool in trying to manage methane and nitrous oxide emissions. And now farmers are responding very, very well to that, because all these things are being done at the adaptive level. So we are not doing them at a research force of our institution, but we've spread them in the farmers' levels, and we are always working with them in these areas. We're also looking at pelleting of urea. As you all recall, our farmers that are into paddy production at the hydromorphic upland and lowlands use a lot of urea. And as you are all aware, urea is one of the fertilizer that can easily give up methane. So what we've done is, with a project supported by the USAID under the Agricultural Technology Transfer Project, we've trained farmers. In fact, we have equipment that can pellet urea, and farmers can use us whether in the dry season whether in the rainy season or dry season under irrigation. They use it very efficiently, and it's able to contribute significantly towards the reduction of methane, of course, from our observations. Of course, the conservation agriculture too, in collaboration with our friends and colleagues in Brazil, they have given a lot of equipment, simple and very useful mechanization equipment for planters that can plant in situ, because we wouldn't like people to disturb the soil. We're trying to sequester carbon to the best of our ability, and that calls for trying to have minimal soil disturbance. And when you have a lot of stubble, sometimes our farmers complain they are not able to do direct planting, but with the equipment we are able to do a lot in that. And also when it gets to the area of harvesting, it also supports us, and we don't seem to have challenges. So in a nutshell, I wouldn't like to bore you. I would like to say some of the areas that we really would like to do, because most of the empirical evidence we have in here normally are calculated using default factors to compute them. But we would like to call for training still. I know a few of my colleagues have benefited already from support from the GRA, who are at the Animal Research Institute and also some of the people with the EPA. But I would still like to ask for more training, particularly for the younger scientists who are so much interested in these GRA activities. And of course, the issue of also having equipment to support. Since Ghana has taken the initiative, I think we can be a hub, or for that matter, we can be, a pilot ground so that other countries that will come up, we can share experiences with them. So in a nutshell, this is what I would like to share with you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.